Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a wonderful Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. It's an early edition, folks. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We're doing an early edition because, as you know, at 9 o'clock, the State of the Union address is happening, and I want to get into a lot about what I think Trump's going to talk about and other stuff like that, so let's get into this. I am about to throw up. I don't know if you've heard, but since 1947, the Cleveland Indians have had their sacred motto, you know, that the Indian, and they're, as of 2019, going to get rid of it. And I'm actually going to write the Cleveland Indians and tell them that I'm the Tigers fan, y'all know, and I'm outraged. Not, my wife is Native American. She has Indian in her ancestry, and she is outraged that they're getting rid of it. Not that they're keeping it, but they're getting rid of it because it's racist and all this or whatever bull crap. Gee, Exxon Mobil CEO Darren Woods has announced that the company will invest $50 billion in the next 5 years in the United States, citing the tax reform of Trump. Gee, you didn't hear that coming out of companies when Obama was president. They invested money. They had to comply with Obamacare and this and that. We had to, and then we found out that, oh, now we don't have to do that stuff. Jeff Sessions came out and talked yesterday about his remarks against the opioid epidemic, and I want to get him in my two cents in that because I know for well about opioids because I've been on them. FBI Director Andrew McCobb, he is like the second in command. Is not being removed. He's basically stepping down, and I'll get into all that. I don't get this, but Ace Beam 72 has had a Marine Corps flag stolen, and he anticipates getting another one and even more flags. And since this thing's gone viral, I'm sure he'll get like tons of people sending him military stuff to hang out there. Why people are disrespecting our vets, I have no idea. They probably support the NFL or something like that. Oh, well, I'm going to get into a big portion of the State of the Union address, what I think he's going to talk about and different stuff. And I watched it on Obama's on the Blaze Network. That was so fun, sitting on the couch watching it. And they did like a Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they had people fact checking it. But he was kind of being realistic about it. He goes, stop this. Listen to what Obama, let's rewind it. This is what Obama said, point blank. He basically told every politician, I don't need any of you, none of you. You're worthless. It's like your CEO coming to you and saying, hey, we're going to automate everything. Are you going to cheer him on when he says he's going to automate everything? No, you want to work. You want a job. That and the singer Joy Villa made another statement. You know, last year she wore that awesome Trump outfit. This year she wore a pro-life shirt. I want to get into that, aka dress. So welcome to the conversation. I hope you feel a part of, folks, and I really hope you do. And I'm just sick when you think of, normally I talk about sports stuff near the end, mainly football and any motorsports. But the Cleveland Indians are going to get rid of their sacred logo that they've had since 1947, the Native American Indian guy. I'm more than likely will buy a Cleveland Indians jersey before they get rid of it. I will buy one. I think it's just, what are we doing in this country, folks? Let's just strip history away. Let's tear down all these Confederate people because that's racism. No, that's called history. That's called learning from your past. Guess what? That guy was a racist SOB. They wanted to, they were like Hillary Clinton. They wanted to segregate America. They wanted to keep us separated, you know? And you have this narrative that, oh, since he was a Confederate leader, we had to tear it all down. Instead of leave it up and learn from it. Learn from our past. I wish there were some monuments in this country of England's kings and queens. I wish they still existed. I wish we wouldn't have torn them down. I wish we would have kept them up as of a reminder of where we came from. Get it? I don't get it, you know? Well, I mean, just like people still believe, oh, it's been proven that Obama was born in Hawaii. No. Okay, well then, go to Kenya, Africa, and read the sign that says, welcome to the birthplace of Barack Obama. And they mean birthplace, not, well, since he lived there for a long time, he's considered it his home. No. No, I have people who were born in Kenya, Africa, that are grateful for the man because that gives him hope. They don't look at it. They never talk about him politically, good or bad. It's just like, hey, he's hope to us. He was born in that country, and he became the president, leader of the free world. So I can dream, and there's no dream that's too small. That's the problem we have in this world. Everybody wants to be a boss, not a leader. Everybody wants to be that person that belittles, oh, I'm better than you because I'm the boss. You know, oh, take that. I'm offended by that Cleveland Indian logo. I'm offended. Well, then if they're going to change that logo, then they need to change their name to the politically correct socialist or something. They need to have something that the Cleveland Indians thing needs to represent who they're going to be now. If that Indian's racist, then they need to get rid of their Cleveland Indians name and they need to go by the politically correct players or something. Welcome back to Cleveland's PC People Baseball, folks. Yeah, the PC People, I don't know. Cleveland PC People. I don't get it. Oh, well. It reminds me of Not for the Easily Offended, where Carlos Montiel goes, oh, my pinocha hurt. Oh, my. You know, people have been out of shape. You can't tell me you don't walk down an alley at night and see a guy walking behind you and think, oh, is he going to mug me? No, that's what you're thinking. You're not thinking, oh, this guy's a great, he's going to come by and give me $1,000 and bless me. And no, you're thinking of, is this guy going to mug me? Does he got a gun? Does he got a knife? What's he going to do? That's what's happening in this world. We all, at some point, think that way, but we got to erase history. Joy Bayer was talking about how, I hope someone yells liar or whatever the heck on all this stuff during the State of the Union address. I'm like, well, you have that freedom of speech, but at the same time, that shows no character on your behalf of basically respecting the president. Yeah, someone yelled liar. I'm like, well, he is. I don't agree with it because it's not right. It's disrespectful. Even though Obama was the worst dictator in this history, I don't like to call him the P word because he was not. You know, he was someone that if you listen to his State of the Union addresses, he's like, I don't need any of you people. I've got this factory and I'm going to automate it. It's all going to be automated. I'm going to need like two people just to make sure that the machines work. Other than that, all you, the 5,000 workers, you're done. And they're like cheering them on. But I want to get into this because this kind of ties into everything, because you have Nancy Pelosi going off about this memo from the FBI that's going to be released by Trump. Oh, that can't be released. Because if that's released, then all these countries are going to hate us because they're not going to trust us with anything because it's just going to be released and all this stuff. No, it proves how corrupt the government is and how they were doing spying on us and doing all this stuff that violates our rights. But guess what? Guess what? She don't care. What she doesn't realize is we're one step away from the French Revolution, and I say this a lot, where these politicians are going to hang by their toes like Mussolini. I'd love to be there. I can give her a piece of my mind. Gee, so when are you going to tear down your wall? I mean, you don't want a wall built between the United States and Mexico, but you have a wall around your billion-dollar property. You make $170,000 a year. Where are you getting these millions of dollars to build this? See, but what you don't realize is she passes all these laws, but doesn't have to abide by them. Oh, we have to pass Obamacare to find out what's in it, but she got exemption from Obamacare. All her friends got exemption, so they didn't have to pay penalties for Obamacare. How does that make sense? See, she's finally having someone that says, see, they can't deal with the fact that there's someone in the White House that's like, no, you're going to pass a law, you're going to abide by it. I'm sick and tired of having American people see billionaires coming, homeless people coming into Washington, D.C., becoming billionaires, passing all these laws that they don't have to abide by or do anything. And, you know, he's not playing ball. He's like, no, we're going to do things right. My way or the highway. And they can't deal with someone that's normally they just kind of like go with the flow. And he's like, no. I'm doing what I'm doing. You don't like it? There's the door. There's the door. Bye-bye. You know, he's standing up. He's not just letting them walk all over him. And they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle someone that's like, screw you. And she's like, oh, this is sensitive stuff. It has to be thoroughly looked at by us before it can just be released. No, you want to have it altered and changed and so it makes you look good instead of taking people like you, Nancy Pelosi, and proving how corrupt you are and all the illegal crap you're doing. See, people are tired of seeing these politicians live like kings and queens while we're sitting there working 10 jobs just to pay our bills. But that's how it is. And they don't get that. I honestly think it's only a matter of time if we didn't get Trump, it would only be a matter of time before there would be another Revolutionary War and Americans would go to Washington, behead all those people, and take over the country again. You know, we won the first Revolutionary War to get away from the control of England. If we have to do it again to get away from the control of the corrupt politicians, we'll do it again. When are they going to realize they work for us? Congress and senators, pardon me, are like investors. You give money, and it's sort of like that South Park episode where, you know, Kyle takes the credit card and he pays for their debt. And no spending limit, Amex card, you know. And they're in the bank and he goes, we're going to take money from your savings into money market mutual fund and it's gone. If politicians were an investor of your money, you wouldn't be using them. You wouldn't be going near them without a million foot pole. You wouldn't even give them a penny. Because that penny would turn into $1 million in their hands, you wouldn't see a dime of it. ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods is saying, here you go, folks. $50 billion in the next 5 years. We're going to invest in America. We're going to get back to America. Oh, that's, you know, I mean, no, under Obama. I mean, companies were lining up to give hundreds of trillions of dollars. I mean, anything to make Trump look bad. I mean, they can't. They have to make Obama look good. They have to sit there. Well, actually, you know, the country is going in the way it's going because of Trump. No. We're doing great. The stock market's record highs because of things that Obama did. The true case, then you would sit there and tell me straight to my face. Straight to my face, you would tell me that, oh, well, then when the economy was going down under George Bush, that was because of all the things Bill Clinton passed. But they won't say that because they cannot, most liberals cannot say, hey, I was wrong about Trump. He's doing a damn good job. They can't do it, and they won't do it. You know, it's nice to see that companies are investing in America. You have Jeff Sessions now coming out talking about the opioid epidemic that we have in this country. Well, that's a pharmaceutical problem, isn't it? And guess what? In Colorado, where pot is legal, opioids are down. The usage is way, way down. Oh, but see, pot is a gateway drug to opioids. Even though you're going to take a Schedule 1 drug and get addicted to it and then go down to a Schedule 2 drug. Not many people realize that, but there's a lot of drugs. If you did marijuana, you would actually, if you went to cocaine or some of these other drugs, actually Schedule 2 drugs. I can talk about opioid epidemics because I have taken opioids. I've been on pain meds for a long time because of my myopathy. I know what I'm talking about. They help me, and it just makes it harder for me to take it. But what happens is, as soon as they can't get the opioids because they limit the ability to get them, guess what happens? Cha-ching. Then they go to cocaine and heroin because, like heroin is some of those opioids that are basically a pharmaceutical heroin. And that's the problem. People don't realize. That's the problem. They don't. The people of this country, it's only going to affect the people that deal them. No, the people that legitimately need them. I've seen, like, Drugs, Inc. and Underworld shows where these dealers want guns banned. They want this stuff banned. Why? Because they'll make money off of it hand over fist. That's one more thing I will be able to deal in and make crap loads of money in because you're not going to be able to get it legitimately. All these drugs are illegal, but there's no short supply of it. No short supply of it. Yeah, we have an issue with things. They covered up the fact that these, when they had these clinical trials and some of these, that they hid some of the dangers of addiction. And they're wanting to, okay, if you get hurt, they're wanting to limit to like 3 or 4 days max, or 2 or 3 days in some instances of meds. I've had surgeries where they're like, okay, yeah, just take Tylenol. Okay, my cousin had that surgery and they were given like a morphine patch. And I'm like, just told to take Advil? Are you kidding me? Because I know like in Indiana, if you're using it from like a pain management clinic, you cannot, unless they specifically say you need something way stronger, you cannot get it from another doctor. So if you have major surgery, you have to get approval from the pain management clinic that you're getting a stronger dose and they have to, how much can, I mean, it is a pain in the rear end. Well, you give him like 2 days supply, no more, and da da da, and it's like, you gotta be, you know, they don't say, okay, yes, he's given this, you give him what he needs until the meds that he normally takes will be sufficing. It's just gonna make it a black market item. The more they go after this opioid epidemic, the more it's just going to be underground, and you're just going to have, it, the price is going to skyrocket of it because people are going to deal it, and they're going to get it shipped in. They're going to have it made in China and have it shipped in. But hey, don't worry. The government will fix everything. You know, I mean, we have a war on opioids, just like we have a war on drugs. How well has that worked? How well did the war on prohibition work in eliminating alcohol? It didn't. The major dealers in it were fighting to keep it illegal because they were making millions. Guess what? I'm making millions of dollars. What the heck? That's the thing. People, that's what people want. That's why they don't want pot legalized, because then these cartels are not going to be able to make the money they make off of it. It's like this one guy said, oh yeah, they may bust a kilo of cocaine, but up to you, 100 kilos gets in for every kilo busted, if not more. Probably 3 or 4 times that. There's probably like 700 or 800 kilos for every one that gets busted. And sometimes they'll bust a kilo, they'll let some get busted here just so that they can get this through. I mean, we got the FBI director, second in command, leaving. And I think with this memo coming out, he's going to be under fire. I mean, the problem you have is, okay, fire everyone in Congress and Senate. They'll be living with the benefits they get from being a Congress and Senator. They'll be living like kings and queens for the rest of their lives. They get congressional benefits, medical, vision, dental. Oh, they see the best doctors. They get the best care. They don't pay a dime. Not one person said, okay, well, why didn't Obamacare just give every American the congressional medical benefits why didn't Obamacare be something that every American got the same benefits medically as Congress and senators? That's one question I always ask. When Nancy Booth says that, I got a question. So why doesn't Obama, you know, if you're going to do health care in America, why don't you make it so that every American citizen gets the same health care the congressmen and senators get? Or why don't we make it presidential health care, where every American gets the exact same medical care the president does? That's the problem. That's what people don't realize. These congressmen and senators, I don't think, realize that I woke up... in the 90s, I woke up a long time ago to where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and the politicians live a good life and we're screwed. I mean, you have a U.S. Marine Corps flag stolen. Ace Beam, 72 years old, and he plans to order a new one along with others, you know, to display. I never thought I'd see a day when kids would wash their own mouths out with soap. Well, now you have people stealing veterans' flags. That is sickening. See, he should just put a bunch of flags out there and buy all the flags and just put bear traps. That way when I'm sure he'd probably get in trouble somehow. I mean, it's a sickening world that, you know, the NFL disrespects our vets. People disrespect our vets. I think if you disrespect our flag or our nation, you should have your citizenship revoked. If you don't like our country, you shouldn't be living here. I mean, but Nancy Pelosi and some of these other politicians sound like these liberals. I mean, they actually went to New York University and they interviewed these kids. What do they think of Barack Obama's State of the Union address? Gotcha on that one. Trump's State of the Union address, which hasn't even happened. And they gave their responses and they gave what they thought about it. And it hasn't even happened. That's what's wrong. I don't give a flying, falutin, whatever you want to call it. If you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, socialist, communist, if you go to vote for Barack Obama and you can't name after you voted for him who his running mate was, that's ignorance is the problem. Who'd you vote for? I vote for Barack Obama. Who's his running mate? John McCain, sir. So what do you think of Trump's State of the Union? Well, I think it was great. I mean, you know, in a little bit, I'm going to be telling you I'm going to give you my view on his State of the Union address, you know, because it already happened, you know. The ignorance. When these kids don't know Richard about anything. And if you know what Richard's short for, or long for. But, seriously, folks, I don't get it. When are people going to wake up and I don't care if you support Hillary Clinton. Know what she stands for. Know what she's about. You know, prove to me how socialism works anywhere in the world. Show me how North Korea with their Juche ideology is giving those people a great life. Show me how Cuba is so great that people are fleeing the country. Okay, it's the stupidity in this country that gets me. I got an Obama phone. Everyone in Cleveland, vote mine over there. They got a phone. I got a phone. You got a phone. And then when they got to her, oh yeah, she was. Oh, wait a minute. He screwed me. See, half the liberals in America are sort of like those Hollywood celebrities, like who is that? Ed McMahon, that had someone doing his finances. And by the time he looked into it, he was out of money, and they're like, they were fleecing him. They were taking money from him. They were taking money from him. By the time he realized it, you know, politician, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, was a financial person. They wouldn't be touching my money. You know, and of course she goes off on this Republican, and I'm like, so what? You know, we got to get past this. Well, he's a Republican because he's got an R in front of his name or a D in front of his name. Well, we used to be judged by the contents of our character. That's how we used to be judged. Not no more. Even if he's a progressive socialist, I almost feel like, they're like wrestlers. Like, well, on TV, you're seeing them fighting each other. But backstage, like, man, whew, man, you were one more inch, man, and if you would have landed, oh, I'd have been hurt. Man, we were lucky on that when you went off the top rope and did that. And then I was supposed to do that flip pin. Man, we lucked out on that one. You know, that's how I kind of feel. Like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, that they might bicker and all this stuff, but behind closed doors, they're probably with John McCain, cha-ching, ching, you know, high-fiving each other because they're living, their net worth is going up and up and up, and the Americans is going down and down and down and down and down. You know, there was a time when one income paid for a family of four. doesn't matter if the one person is a, if we could get back to that today, it wouldn't matter if it's the man working or the woman working. Because, of course, if you say, well, there was a time when a man could provide for a family of four and the wife stayed home. Oh, what, you don't want women in the workforce? Who said that? Because I've had people tell me that. I'm like, no, I'm just saying back in the day, there was a time when one income could provide for a family of four. Now you have people that are having five jobs, charging six charge cards just to try to make ends meet, and they can't do it. Can't do it. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Oops. When people start to realize that, hey, we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, when is that going to come back? No, we're at each other's throat. You think Trump really cares about you? Well, I know no politician does. You know, the only way I'm going to be helped by a politician is if I'm in a district where they are, and they pass something that gets money to my district, and it helps us out. You know, other than that, no politician is. They're all into it for their own pocketbooks. The politicians are for them. Trump is not a politician. He's a businessman. We're trying him, and so far he's doing a damn good job. Well, it's just like ever since Scott Baio recently came out and said he was a conservative and been like 100%. Now he gets all these people that are like one of his co-stars from Charles in Charge, saying, oh, he molested me, he raped me and all this stuff, and he'd have been like, yeah, it's just, I mean, all this bull crap. And he's like come out and 100% denied it and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, I don't get it. But at least he's like, well, I'm pretty much done with the Republicans. I'm like, buddy, I was done with them a long time ago. Lori Villa makes another statement. I don't know if you saw this. Last year she came out with a Trump dress, and this year she came out with like a, you know, choose life purse and all this stuff. That was incredible. I think the dress is hideous, but the point was what she supports. You know, especially since me and my wife can't have kids, and I see people that chain their kids up and force them to go days without food while they eat, and they can't, you know. It's just sickening what is allowed, what, you know, these parents, how they treat kids, and we would love to have a kid. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I don't get, and maybe I never will, but I want to get into the State of the Union address, and I will talk a little bit about the English Premier League at the end, but I want to get into a big chunk of the conversation there about the State of the Union address. And I remember when I was in school, we saw Bill Clinton's, and you had to watch it at night, and then you wrote, like, well, what happens, what comes in, the speaker announces him, and this and that, and he shakes people's hands and all this stuff, and, you know, and you learned. I guess I'm blessed because when I grew up in school, there were no teachers pushing political agendas. It was no, you could ask a teacher who they vote for, they wouldn't tell you. There was no, oh, I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal. You never knew that. I had history teachers, I had government teachers, I had all kinds of, and I could never have told you if they were liberal, conservative. It was never, they never did anything to bash anybody. This is what a president does. This is what the State of the Union is. It's to talk about the state of the economy, the state of the nation. They didn't say, well, yeah, if you saw that State of the Union address, you know, this is what I love. See, Obama's just the greatest, you know. No, they never would have done that. whether he supported Clinton or Bush, you would have never known. You would have never known which one they supported. And that's how we should get back to colleges where, you are taught something. You know, the State of the Union address, I think he's going to talk about the wall and the progress we've made on the fact that these illegals that are crossing this border that are draining us of millions and millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars. He's going to talk about the economy. I know he's going to talk about these companies that are investing billions of dollars bringing jobs back to America. Just look at parts of California where they have homeless cities, where they have tent cities. Well, that is very, very, look at parts of Detroit. They're decrepit. Well, they're very, 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 very liberal. They're very, very progressive. They're falling apart. I don't know how people can't look at those. And there are some people now in California that are seeing all these policies and seeing all this and seeing how their cities are getting trashed, and they're saying, wait a minute here. Now, he's definitely going to talk about the State of the Union and how it's getting better, how the stock market is rising and getting higher and higher. Now, some people are afraid it's like an inflating balloon, that when is it going to finally just get to the point where it's as big as it can go and it's going to burst and then we're going to go down to like nothing. But it's skyrocketing right now. The economy is doing great. This nation is doing wonderful. He's going to talk about dreamers. You got to look at, like, and I want to talk a little bit about this, because you take a dreamer, for example. They've been here long enough to where they could have, a lot of these people have been here long enough to where they could have been a citizen by now if they would have gone through the legal channels. But they don't want to. They want to use all the loopholes to try to stay here illegally because they'll get more benefits if they're illegal. I mean, there are some kind of negatives. I mean, I think you should have to do something to earn Social Security, like unemployment or Medicaid or whatever, these benefits. But then there are some people that say that, hey, because of all these conditions, I can't work and I'm going to lose my benefits because I'm told I have to work to earn this stuff. Well, there has to be something in there that says, okay, if you have physical disabilities, you can't work, you can't do this, and here you go, this is what you're going to get. We're going to help out. We want to make it so that you don't have someone that has five kids that, because of all these benefits, I'm never going to work. They can't take my benefits away because of my kids. There should be a limitation, okay? You have this much time. You have like 6 months once you get on these benefits before you drastically lose these benefits. Well, because they can't take these benefits away because you got kids. There's no incentive for these people to want to do anything because all they're going to, why would I want to work if I can make $1,500 just sitting on my butt because I get all these incentives from my kids? You know, we have a nation where someone's paying for this. No one is going to tell me my kids are going to go without food. Well, then try to earn it. I don't sit there and worry about food and stuff. I have some help. We get help. You know, you can get help. There's people out there that will help you. I mean, we've got issues. We're okay. My wife gets physical therapy done. That's wonderful. She needs it. It didn't help that much, but since it was workman's comp, it's work insurance. And, oh, well, that's part of a deductible. What the deductible means, okay, well, until we pay like $1,500, we have to pay all of it. So we're paying, that physical therapy is like ridiculous. It's like $1,200, I think we owe, or something like that. It never ends. So we're on payment plans. We have tons of bills around payment plans with medical because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're not sitting there, well, is someone going to, where's the government? No, someone would want to come along and say, hey, here, we'll help you out, get this medical straightened out for you, see you. Then great. You know, there are things called blessings. But it's not about, okay, I'm just going to sit my, I'm going to try to find a way that I can just sit on my butt and get unemployment. Because I know now some people, they figure out loophole, okay, well, all I have to do is get another job and work there for a little bit and then quit, and then I got like another year of unemployment, 6 months. Some states are making it really hard because you have to prove that you're looking for work, and that if you go a month without proving you're looking for work, then bye-bye, sayonara. I think he's going to talk about some of these things and ways he's going to change things so that if you have an issue and you can't work, bam. He's going to talk about some of the things where there may be, okay, this is, we need to have something so that there needs to be an incentive for you to work. So that if you got five kids and you get these benefits and you just sit on the couch watching TV and you got all this, you get $1,200, $1,500, you know, for doing nothing. Nah, there needs to be an incentive to work. And what's going to happen with some of those people is, okay, when you lose, okay, when that kid leaves, okay, here you go. When that kid goes, and then you get down to like, okay, you're going to have to do something because eventually you're going to have no kids and you're going to have to work. And I think he's going to talk about some of the programs that he has in the store, ones that he's talked about, and take some of the cons and turn them into, okay, well, yeah. Granted, she's got six kids and she's living off the system. We need to have a way so that this person that's disabled and can't do something or can't do certain things a system so that if they truly cannot work, that their stuff isn't taken from them. But people who legitimately can work has their stuff to where they have to work. I have a myopathy. I wish there was a way I could have served my country. I mean, I know I would have found out my myopathy a lot sooner, but hey, in the context of it, I wish there's a way that now I know this, I wish I could do something to serve my country. But I couldn't do the PT at all. It's kind of how that goes, you know, but I think he's going to spend a good portion of this thing talking about some of the things he wants to do that can be improved. Because there is concern about some of these programs where, okay, you're going to have to do this to get this. Well, he can't do that. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be on all. It's going to be a good speech. I think he's going to, I guess there's surprises for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. You know, Trump wants to be very transparent. He wants to be someone like, hey, I want this stuff released. The American people, you know, we're tired of a country where people kind of feel like, wait a minute here. He busts his butt. And I need to sit there and be like, wait a minute here. No, if they bust their, I want someone that's working for me, not the other way around. And there's some people that say that he's like, okay, well, he's trying to expose the mob and he's going to get killed for it because he wants to, he goes, you know, these politicians have been getting away with it for too long. Okay, it's sort of like imagine having a cookie jar, and well, you just take one cookie, and then their kid takes one cookie, and then the third kid says, "I'll take two cookies," And then this guy, well, he's got two, I'll take two. And then someone said, two, I'll try three. And by the time you get to the end, there are kids that didn't get cookies because some people took more than they were supposed to. And that's what's happened. You know, people are just taking, you know, these politicians have had it so good for so long that we finally have a president that is going to talk tonight, I think, a lot about. You know, it's in America. When he talks about making America great, I see someone that wants to do something for us. You know, he works for us. He wants it better for us. Better for us, not worse. He wants us to have success. He wants us to do. Not feel like we rely on. I mean, there was a time in this country where people didn't rely on the government, wouldn't rely on the government. They came here with nothing. I came here from Italy with $40 and they screwed up my name because of my name tag saying to New York. They thought my name was Tony. And guess what? I made something of myself. This is Tony's Barber Shop. My grandfather ran it, my uncle ran it, and I'm running it. We're one of the busiest barbershops in Boston. Not now. Okay, well, no, I was told that I have I can get the money to start a business. You know, I'm illegal, so I'm entitled. I get free stuff. There used to be an old cartoon that had a line a mile long for people that want entitlements, and there's one person in the line for earning it himself. You know, people are starting to see that kid that took the two cookies and say, wait a minute, put it back. You know, people are starting to wake up, and we finally got someone in there that I think tonight's going to address. Hey, I'm here for you. I want what's best for you. I want to build a wall so that we can stop. I want to do stuff to help the American people. I enacted this plan, and there's some problems with it, but he wants to cut loopholes. You know, there's a thing where they said, well, Dreamers paid this much in taxes. Trump paid who knows how much, or like next to nothing. I'm like, Hillary Clinton's been in Washington, D.C. as long as I can remember, as long as I've been alive. If she wanted to get those loopholes to keep people from paying little to no taxes, you know, she could have done that a long time ago. I expect to see a great speech, a speech that's going to be inspiring, you know. I win one for the Gipper speech, saying, yeah, there's some issues. Of course, you're going to have liberals that don't know anything, don't follow anything, don't care. That are just going to be like, well, why isn't someone saying he's a liar, he's a liar, he's a liar? You know, the country's doing great because of stuff Obama passed. Okay, but that same person would blame the economy on Bush's policies, not saying that, hey, Clinton was the president before, all his policies are the reason why Bush is falling up. Bush is having an issue with the country. You know, they gotta blame Obama. They gotta praise Obama. Because the country's doing great, and they can't cover up the fact that it's doing great. They can't hide that fact. And since they can't hide that fact, they got to say they can't give Trump credit. They have to give Obama credit, and that's the problem. But that's the problem you have. You have these people that don't know anything. You know, and then you have Joy Bayer that's a billionaire that doesn't know what it's like to not have a dime or... And she's just like one of those things. It's just like, hey, look at me. I can't relate to the average person, but guess what? I'm going to tell you my opinion. I can give you my opinion because I relate with the people that don't have much. I relate to the people that since the 90s, early 90s, saw how BS and corrupt the country is. And how, let me see here. Wow. Look at all these politicians and how wealthy they are. And we don't seem to be getting wealthy. Look at, wow, they just passed this bill. Well, gee, why don't they have to be involved in it? Why don't they have to pay for it? Why don't they have to deal with it? Nah, I don't get it. And now people are starting to wake up, some of them, that, guess what? Oh, we don't have to, idiotic in this country is. But it's a double standard on both sides, because just like they try to take this liberalism to the streets because nothing's changing because most people don't watch the news, it's the exact other side, All the corruption that's going on and all the how bad this country is and how crooked it is, people aren't seeing it because they're not seeing the news either. So a lot of the people, because I'm a news nut and I've seen how bad this country is and how corrupt the politicians are, because I've followed and I've seen that we've gone Republican, Democrat, back and forth, nothing's ever changed. So got about 6 minutes left, and I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. And as many of you know, we don't have Speed TV anymore. And a lot of people were kind of pissy because a lot of people couldn't get FS2, which is where a lot of the Rolex 24-hour WeatherTech Sports Car Series race was on. It was on like FS1 for like an hour here, an hour there. I saw like an hour and a half of that race. And I usually watch 90% of it, because it used to be on from the very start on Speed TV all the way up to like 10 or 11. Then it went off the air and you could watch an online version of it, which is usually just like a camera angle from inside a guy's car. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see anything. And then a couple years, they did commentary where you could hear the commentary. And then it went back on Speed TV in the morning at like 6, and you can watch it till the end. This year, I don't get FS2, and I'm not going to buy a subscription just to get FS2, because I think I have to go up to the next package. I don't have the money, and I'm not going to do it anyways. And it's just like, so I only saw like 1 hour of the race or so, and it was horrible. But I think since they had it on FS2 and all this stuff, I think through the TV you can watch the whole thing, because I know in the United States the WeatherTech Sports Car Series channel on YouTube, their page, it was blacked out here. You couldn't watch the which is bull crap. I don't get it. There's a lot of people, they had like some live feeds every once in a while from Facebook, and everyone's like, hey, I can't get that channel. A lot of people complained. That's why I wish it would have like another channel like Speed come back. That was great. I loved it. I loved Wind Tunnel with David Despain. He talked about all kinds of stuff. It was just great. I loved it. And I think he's on another channel now. I forget which one, but I think he still does some type of show like that. But, so who knows. But I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. And I want you to think about it. It's hard to believe that we're coming up on the 60th anniversary of the tragic Munich air disaster of Manchester United, when they had to go to and play in Belgrade and all this. And some of the players didn't feel comfortable with it. And it's a testament to the fan base of our United, and how we're worldwide and nationwide, and how that club almost didn't exist, because City is going to be done in about 10 years' time. See, what City is doing now is they've got a manager with millions of dollars, and he's just bringing in players. That's great. Manchester United brings in players with lots of money, but we have been always a team of youth, and taking someone 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and developing them through the program Yeah, they may have some million-dollar equipment at City, but you're not gonna. There's a 90% chance they're not gonna play you. Manchester United, you work your way up through the academy, and there's a chance you'll play. Now Mourinho is not really keen on playing the youth, but he's getting. I think he will get into that and start playing some of it more. Not that he's gonna go anytime soon playing the youth big time, but that's a huge. That's what makes United United. You start out in the academy and you work your way up and then you can become a superstar and play for United. You know, the Busby Babes are like famous. They're like one of the best teams ever. No one was even close to them. And when that happened, you know, it was just kind of shocking. Got 90 seconds left, the team was going to falter, and they came around and about. And, you know, and we play Tottenham tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and I'm should be done in work time to see a good portion of the game. So I think it's a good win we can have. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great, great moving forward. 60 seconds left. I think we're going to move forward, and I think we can keep second. I don't know if we can challenge for the lead. You know, I think City's going to win this one, but hey, if you got millions of dollars and, you know, what the heck, and when that money dries up and they no longer have that money, then, you know, we're constantly developing. We have a worldwide fan base. We're constantly getting people that we can develop that might be that next superstar. That might be the next Messi or George Best or Ronaldo or Cantona or Nostroy. Who knows? Well, that's all the time I got for today, folks. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the program that you're a part of. And don't forget to tune in at 9 o'clock for the State of the Union Address. And with that, with the firm providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next time. Good night and God bless. Goodbye.